But what was the point of letting the bastard know all my plans? If his intelligence was as good as he claimed, let him find these things out for himself. I'll cross that bridge when I reach it, I said. Zamudio was the one who finally gave the others a temporary edge, even if it probably wasn't in quite the way he would have planned. But the Palestine's captain must have thought he stood a very good chance of damping his antimatter flow, or else he would not have tried stopping his engine. The explosion had been as hard and radiantly white as I remembered from the day in the nursery, when the Islamabad had gone up. But the next day, something unexpected happened. In the instants before Zamudio's ship had blown up, it had still been transmitting technical data to its two allies, both locked in the same deceleration burn that Zamudio had tried unsuccessfully to abort. I could guess that much myself, even though I was not directly privy to that flow of information. That was the other odd thing. The rest of the flotilla had become grudgingly united against me. I hadn't really expected that, but in hindsight I should have realized that it would happen. I had given the bastards a common enemy. In a way it was to my credit. There was only one of me, yet I had raised such fear in the other captains that they thought it best to amalgamate against me, despite all that had happened between them. And now this, Zamudio clawing back from the grave. The technical data was more useful than he realized, Armesto said. It didn't do Zamudio much good, I said. By now there was an appreciable redshift between my ship and the other two flotilla craft, beginning to fall behind me as they decelerated. But the communication software effortlessly removed all distortion, save for the increasing time lag which accompanied the breakup of the flotilla. No, Armesto said, but in their sacrifice they gave us something tremendously valuable. Shall I explain? If it pleases you, I said, with what I hoped was a convincing show of boredom. But rather than being bored, I was actually a little scared. Armesto told me about the technical data, squirted across from the Palestine until the last nanosecond before it detonated. It concerned the attempts that had been made to shut down the flow of antimatter. It had always been known that the procedure was almost bound to be fatal, but until then the precise failure mode had been unclear, glimpsed only fleetingly in computer simulations. There had been speculation that if the failure mode could be understood sufficiently well, it might even be possible to counteract it by subtle manipulation of the fuel flow. It was nothing that could be tested in advance. Now, however, a kind of test had been made for them. The telemetry from the ship had ended just after the failure mode had begun to arise, but it still probed closer into that instability regime than any carefully harnessed laboratory test or computer simulation. And it had taught them well. Enough information could be extracted from those numbers to guess how the failure mode must have evolved. The numbers, fed into the onboard simulations devised by the propulsion teams, hinted at a strategy for containing the imbalance. Tweak the magnetic bottle topology slightly, and the injection stream could be neatly curtailed, with no risk of normal matter blowback or antimatter leakage. It was still, of course, hellishly risky. Which did not stop them trying it. My ship was falling ahead of the Brasilia and the Baghdad, and those latter two ships had flipped over to bring their engines forward for the deceleration phase. The bright spikes of those antimatter torches pinpricked the minutely red-shifted hemisphere of sky to the rear of the Santiago, like a pair of hot blue sibling suns. The thrust beams of the two deceleration ships were not to be underestimated as potential weapons, but neither Armesto